Hallelujah. Absolutely, the song is so right that it's about the cross. There are so many things that can take our minds in this here Christmas season and can take our thoughts and our hearts, draw us away from what the purpose of the season is. And I know that we can be distracted, we can get caught up in all the things that are going on, but it's definitely is a good time of the year. It's a good time to be alive. It's a good time to experience Christ and what the purpose of Christ is. And when he came as a baby, was not to stay there in that manger, but was to go to the cross that you and I could have eternal life. Thinking about the how he came and he brought joy and he brought peace. And I was wondering, as I sat and as I pondered over this sermon, it's a sermon that I did back in 2017, so I pulled one out as we made a rather rapid switch. I had actually thought about and had prepared to do this sermon next Sunday, and so we get it a week early this time. But as I thought about the whole thing, I thought about peace, and I thought about the season and how that we can get so distracted that we miss the time of peace that God has brought to us. And I wonder, how many of you here this morning are experiencing the true peace of God this morning? If you were to really be honest with yourself, if you were to be honest about how you really feel, and I'm not just referencing this being the Christmas season, and I think I better stay at the mic here the way it appears, for the time being, I got mine on. But so as we think about the Christmas season and all the things, not just that, but is there a peace? Do you experience the peace of God? And what is it? Is there things that you would be able to identify that would keep you from experiencing the peace of God? Now, you're familiar with the cat that lives with us, Louie. And this is a difficult time of the year for Louie. When Louie is an inside-outside cat, he comes in for the night, and he comes in for the day, and he goes out for the night. And this here cold weather has just made Louie a grumpy old man. When he's inside, he wants to be outside. You put him outside, and he's sitting on the windowsill crying to be inside. So this is where Louis finds himself, just not at peace. And one night I was having trouble sleeping, so I went out and I laid on the recliner, and this is a recliner that's not against the wall, it's kind of out in the open, and I laid the recliner back, and after a while I got comfortable and I fell asleep, and suddenly I was startled awake to this here claws on the back of the recliner. And as he jumped up on the back of the recliner with his claws, he just nicked the back of my head just a little bit. If he'd have been like an eighth of an inch further, I'd have claw marks on my baldy spot back there. Cranky. I mean, just miserable. And I know that we have all run into people that are like that, that just do not experience the peace of God, cannot find the peace of God, no matter what. You're outside, you want to be inside. You're inside, you want to be outside. Can't find the peace of God. And so you can turn with me this morning to Psalms chapter 46, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 11, and I titled the message this morning, Be Still and Know God. Be Still and Know God, which is taken directly from verse 10 of Psalms 46, verse 10. We'll read that scripture there then, but I just want to do something here. I think one of the things that we find is that we get ourselves so caught up and so busy with life and so busy doing things that we forget to take that time. We don't take the time to stop and be still before God. And that's where we find peace. We don't find it in the next vacation. We don't find it in the next big thing. We don't find it in the next big dollar that we made. We find peace when we sit and be still with God and know that He is God. And I'm not talking about we'll get to that a little bit later, but for the moment, Let's do a little bit of a test here. Let's get all, everybody get quiet and just think about God for a period of time here. How long do you think that was? A minute? What do we have? Some other thoughts? How long was that? 30 seconds. That was 30 seconds. Think about it. How much time do we really give to thinking about God? To sitting quiet before Him? Just being still before Him. How much time do we really give? It humbled me when I thought about what are we listening for? What are we listening for? What is it that our ears are tuned to? And I think it's a good time to talk about, to think about the all the things that the world is throwing at us. And we'll look at this scripture here. And actually, I'll read it now, and then I'll make some comments. In Psalms 46, it says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. And I thought about this verse as I thought about, and though the, in verse 3, though its waters roar and are troubled. Now, I just watched a documentary not too long ago on the, or a report on the tsunamis in India and Japan, and I thought about those people experienced the roaring of the sea as the water came in and just devastated houses and people drowned in it, and they experienced the roaring of the sea, a fearful thing. It would strike fear into your heart if you were anywhere near that. And then it also says, though the mountains shake with its swelling. I thought about Mount St. Helens, and you know, I think some of us have lived through that and have seen what Mount St. Helens was able to do with the volcano that erupted with its swelling. The people that were anywhere near that, they experienced fear. There is a river, it says in verse 4. Whose stream shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, and she shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, and the earth melted. The Lord is the host, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations of the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. And I thought about how many wars he has made to cease. And I know that there are wars that are still going on, and that still there's time that I believe that God can make those wars cease. Are we fearful? Those people in Ukraine or Israel or the places where they're there's a lot of bombing and stuff going on. I believe those people are fearful. And I believe it would be hard to keep your mind fixed on the fact that, as it says in verse 1, God is our refuge and our strength. And I believe the only way that those people are able to do that is if they take time to sit and be still and be quiet before God and quiet the fears, the roaring that goes on within a person's heart and their mind. Maybe you're here this morning and the sound of drones has gotten into your spirit. Maybe you're here this morning and maybe vaccines or something has gotten into your spirit and you're fearful. And these are fearful things. We don't know what vaccines do. We don't know what the drones are doing. There are things that can cause our hearts to fear and to tremble, to look away from God. And this is the time that God wants us more than ever to come back and to hear him, to listen to him. What are the voices that you're listening to? What is your ear tuned to? Is it to the news or is it to God Almighty? Are you tuned in? Are you hearing the voice of God in the day that we're living? Because you will not have peace if you're not in tune. Let me read a story, and it's just a story. A Native American and his friend were walking on Times Square in New York City. You may remember this from the last time I preached. On Times Square, when the streets were busy and noisy and filled with people, the sounds of the city were almost deafening, and suddenly the Native American said, "I hear a cricket." His friend said, "What? You must be crazy. You couldn't possibly hear a cricket in all this noise." "No, I'm sure of it," he said. "And I heard a cricket." "That's just crazy," said his friend. So the Native American walked over carefully. He listened carefully for a moment and then walked to a big cement planter where some shrubs were growing. He looked into the bushes beneath the branches, and sure enough, there he located a small cricket. In utter amazement, the friend said, "That's incredible. You must have superhuman ears." "No," said the Native American, "my ears are no different from yours. It just depends on what you are listening for." The friend replied, "There's just no way. I could never hear a cricket in this noise." But the Native American simply replied, "It depends on what is really important to you. Here, let me show you." He reached into his pocket, pulled out a few coins, and discreetly dropped them on the sidewalk. Even with all the noise of the crowded street blaring in their ears, nearly every person within 20 feet noticed the sound of the coins and looked to see if the money had been theirs that hit the pavement. "See what I mean?" said the Native American. "It all just depends on what's important to you." The same question can be asked of us this morning. What's important to me? What is important to me? What is it that my ears are tuned to? What is it that my ears are open to? What is it that gets my attention? Because I believe we live in a day where our hearts and our minds need to be fixed completely. Need to be fixed on Jesus Christ. Need to be fixed on God. And willing to sit quietly before him. It's no wonder that people are having difficulty seeing God working or hearing God in the midst of difficult situations because we're focused on so many other things. It's difficult because we're focused on so many other things. And there's no peace. There's no peace. Angry. We're frustrated. Because, and you name it, and we don't hear God. Proverbs 20, verse 7 says, "For as he thinks within himself, so is he." Matthew 6, 19 through 21, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moss and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in nor steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Where is your heart? What are you focused on? As Christians, we need to tune our hearts to hear God. We need to tune our hearts to hear God. Are you hearing God above all the noise of the world? And here in this here scripture, in verse 10, as we read on, he makes war, going back to verse 9, he makes wars to cease at the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. And then he says, on top of all of this, after this whole dialogue here about the roaring of the sea, the swelling of the mountains, and the wars, he says this, "Be still." Be still. and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Be still and know. Stop. Be quiet. My spirit, stop. Shut up, in other words, is the real definition or the translation of the word that is used, hush. Hush. Be still. And know that I am God. And some of us need to say that to our spirits this morning. Hush. Be still. Be still. God is God. He is our refuge. I will be exalted among the nations, is what he says. I will be exalted. Not you, not me. I, God, will be exalted among the nations. Be still. Stop. I got this. God is saying, I got this. You're okay. You're okay. I got this. Stop. Be still. There is a need, and I'm going to call you different times throughout this her message this morning, the need to return to a posture of meditation where we can come before the Father, where we come before the Father and we stop and we be still before God, and we need to stop glorifying busyness that we find ourselves caught up in. Be still. Be still. That's not saying stop doing what you're doing, but stop whatever it is that's driving you. Be still. No, it's okay. It's okay. Be still. How often do we ask God for something, but we won't stop to listen? We ask for direction. We ask God for direction. We ask God, what is it you want from me? God, what do you have for my life? Where do you want me to go next? What is to be done next? What should I do, Lord? We ask the question, but we never stop and listen to what God's trying to say to us. Because we're so busy trying to figure it out, and we do this, we do that, and we do the other thing, trying to fulfill whatever void that it leaves when we stop and be still. Because when we stop and be still is when we hear from God. The world asks us to be busy. God asks us to be still so that we can receive love, peace, and guidance. Along with busyness and all the things that go on can come the fearful, anxious thoughts that we hold on to. It's been stated that we have upwards of 50,000 thoughts a day. Those thoughts aren't always pretty, you know? Have you had these thoughts? I can't believe I messed up. I'm an idiot. I can't do it. It's too hard. I'm a failure. I'm a fraud. I'm too young. I'm too old. And these are the thoughts. These are the things that need, they get in there and they fill your mind. And after a while, you're not at peace anymore. So how do I get that peace back? How do I get the peace back that I know every one of you wants? And I want. How do I get that peace back? We must learn to tell our anxious thoughts to be quiet. And like Jesus told in Mark 4:39, then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Sometimes we need to tell our spirits, tell our soul, tell our inner person, be still, be at peace, be calm. Then he went on, he said to the disciples, why are you afraid? Why are you afraid? Why are you fearful? Do you have such little faith? Is it a lack of faith? Am I lacking faith when I believe, when I say, when I just can't come to a place of peace? Is it a lack of faith? Maybe. Quieting the mind, shutting up the mind requires practice. And I believe that some of that happens when we learn the art of meditating before God. Meditating on Him. Meditating on His Word. prayer, Bible reading, getting to know God through prayer, through meditation. John the Baptist and others went off to meditate and to take themselves away from a hectic world. And let me say really quickly, because we live in a culture today, a society that is promoting meditation in a wrong form. I'm here to tell you that the scripture is full of the call to meditate. But there's also a call from the world around us to meditate. Yoga, Eastern religion, those kinds of things. I know what I'm talking about this morning. There's a meditation that is right. There's a meditation that is wrong. The meditation of those people who practice yoga, practice Eastern religion, those kind of things. It's all about, finding the inner self, focusing within you. Meditate on your navel and you can draw some strength from within. No, what the Bible calls for us as Christians, when we meditate, we call on a strength that is outside of us. We call for a strength that comes from above us. When we meditate in such a way that we're saying, I know that as a human being, I am nothing. And that I know that God is God. He is the God of my, he is our refuge and our strength. He is the God of Jacob. And I find my strength outside of myself, not within myself. It's a little messed up. Romans 12:2 says this, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Meditation helps to renew the mind. Helps to renew the mind, to be still, to let go, surrender, shut up our thoughts that don't serve us well. It's easy to fill each day with busyness, to block concerns through hours of mind-numbing television, viewing. Probably that's not as much anymore as it was at one day. Internet surfing, reading magazines. These things are not bad, but if they are used to fill a void that is not being filled, over time, the toll will manifest itself in the form of lost relationships, lost opportunities, lost dreams, and never being fulfilled. Next time you're anxious, fearful, the thoughts are raging within you, like Jesus, say, peace, be still. Be still and know that I am God. In Psalms 1, I'm just going to take a moment to go here just quickly in this. In Psalms 1, chapter 1, verse 3, it says, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. And Warren Wiersbe says this about that verse. It's a tragedy, I quote, it's a tragedy when a believer ignores the root system and begins to wither. We must remember that the tree does not eat the fruit. Others eat it. That was an interesting thought. You don't eat the fruit of the Spirit yourself. The fruit of the Spirit is for others to eat. And I go on quoting. We must also remember the fruit isn't the same as results, because fruit has in it the seed for more fruit. Fruit comes from life, the life of God flowing in and through us. And that comes from the root of the tree. The roots are what is important this morning. And if we don't take the time to be still and nurture the roots, the tree will be worthless. The fruit will be bad. If we don't stop and be still and know God and know that he is God. I observed customers at Byler's, where I work there 2 days a week. I observed customers in the showroom there that are waiting on parts at the parts counter. And one of the things that happens, they will walk in there, they'll give their order, and the first thing they do, as soon as they're finished giving the order, out comes the phone. And they're quite satisfied. They're quite content sitting there. It can take you a long time to get their parts. And they're not really troubled because they have something they're really occupying their minds with. I don't know what, but they're filling their minds. Wouldn't it be a moment where you could just stop and reflect on God's goodness? Not saying that you need to do that every waking moment of the day, but I'm pointing out that we so quickly turn to something else to fill our minds. When we have a moment of downtime, we reach for our phones or we turn something on. And I ask you this, how long would you continue to talk to a friend or a spouse if they are obviously distracted by their phone or just busy doing something else that has their attention? Think about it. Think about it. I've done this to Karen. I've been distracted. She's talking to me, and I'm distracted with something else. And then after a while, she tells me that she murdered her mother and kind of things like that. To see if I'm listening, that's not. And, you know, she tells some really wild tale. And oh, yeah, I was listening. Yeah, I know. But how long would you talk to someone? How long would you continue to try to have a relationship with someone who stands there, who is preoccupied with their phone, with something else? And some of you this morning, I have found myself doing it here at church some mornings where I'm talking to somebody and I see somebody else that, I need to catch up with them. And all of a sudden, it's like, I'm not listening to what the person's saying anymore. And I'm sorry to those of you that I've done that to. Our minds are so quickly distracted, drawn away. We don't need to add things to it. Our minds are so quickly distracted and drawn away from what we're doing. How long would you continue a relationship? So look at it from God's standpoint. He's trying to talk to you. He's trying to talk to me. How many times have we been so busy? How many times have we been so distracted that we don't hear him? How long do you think he will continue? I believe that God is extremely gracious, more than we are. But think about a relationship like that. A couple of scriptures here quickly. Genesis 24, 6, 3 and 64. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field in the evening, and he lifted up his eyes and looked, and there the camels were coming. So this was something that Isaac did. He went out in the field to meditate. Joshua 1:8, the book of the law shall not depart from my mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, and that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. Psalms 4:4, be angry and do not sin. Meditate within your heart on your bed and be still. Psalm 63:6, when I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches. Maybe you're having trouble sleeping. Meditate on him. Meditate on God. Psalm 77:6, I call to remembrance my song in the night. I meditate within my heart, and my spirit makes diligent search. Psalm 72:12, I will also meditate on all your work and talk of all your deeds. Psalms 119:15, I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. Psalms 119:27, make me understand the way of your precepts, so shall I meditate on your wonderful works. Psalms 119:48, my hands also I will lift up to your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes. And that's not the end of it. There's a whole lot more that speak to this, meditating and focusing on God, drawing our minds and our hearts, being still before him. It's this way that it has come to the point where, you know, when somebody steps into the car, they start the engine and a radio comes on. And it's filled with the radio. There's a talk show or some kind of music, whatever it is. And I believe these are good things. There's nothing wrong with these things. But what is wrong with stepping into your car sometime and just taking a moment of driving time that is quiet before God? Be still. Still your spirit. I wonder sometimes if we wouldn't drive a lot different if we were just to still our hearts There's homes that the first thing that gets turned on is the TV. I've heard this, and I've not experienced it myself, but where the TV gets turned on, it's left on all day just so that there's a noise, so that there's something making noise so that it's not quiet. There are people who run and walk. In towns, you see them, and they got these things sticking in their ears, and just noise. Noise, so that you don't think, no time to think. And it's good to listen to music. I sat last night and listened to some good, fulfilling music, and my spirit was lifted. So it's not just about just being quiet all the time, but it's stilling our heart. I stilled my heart was still before God in the presence of good music. You go into department stores and restaurants, grocery stores, elevators. There's something making noise. People can't seem to function without some kind of noise. There was an expert noted that people only feel comfortable being silent when they're in the presence of someone they're comfortable with. When they're with us, with those people, it's nothing to just sit and say nothing. People only feel comfortable being silent when they're in the presence of someone they're comfortable with. You ever seen a young boy or a girl on a date and they're holding hands and they're just looking in each other's eyes and not saying a whole lot, and what they do say don't mean anything? You see spouses sitting around, just holding hands or nothing. But once in a while, Karen and I will be sitting on our recliners and we're just not saying a whole lot. You know what? It's comfortable. It's comfortable. I think it is. It's comfortable. I don't know. I think she thinks. But we're comfortable with silence with someone we're comfortable with. Are you comfortable with God this morning? And I thought about how that, as a parent, sometimes as a parent, your child would jump up on your lap and they'd be chattering and talking and telling you all kinds of things. Next time, the child would just crawl up in your lap and they'd just sit with you. When's the last time you've done that with God? When's the last time you've just crawled up in his lap and just sat with him? I had that happen, Avery, just not long ago. It was last week, I believe. I believe we were over with Sonia and Wendell, and Avery just crawled up in my lap and just sat there, laid her head back on my shoulder, just enjoyed being with me. We didn't have a lot to say. Just enjoyed. You know what? I would move mountains for her. I would, without saying a word. She said, "I'm comfortable with you." Not a whole lot needs to be said. Are you comfortable with God? Because if you are, get still before him. Take the time to talk to him. Do you ever just come to God and just say, "God, pick me up"? You ever see a child walk, they walk up to you with their arms up and say, "Pick me up. I want to be held. I want to be held." Be still. We come to God in prayer and we're busy asking for things. We're so busy talking. We're so busy. And it's okay. The Bible says we have not because we ask not. It's good. It's fine. It's okay. It's a good thing. But are we quiet in our spirit when we talk to God? And do we ever just take a time just to sit with him and just to hear from him? And that can be done in many different ways. There's different positions, whatever it is, whatever works for you. It's not something that just has to get done. Don't do it. Don't do it as just a part of a daily ritual that you do. Do it as part of God with you all day. When you're driving down the road, put your hand over on God's hand, or God have his hand on yours. He's there. He wants to be there. He wants to be in your life. He wants to be part of it all the time. He wants to be part of your life. But our minds are so filled with other things, so busy, so angry, that we don't take the time to stop. If you don't fill yourself with God, there's something else that will fill it. If you don't fill yourself, you don't fill your mind, if you don't fill yourself with God, there is something else that will fill it. Because this is the law of physics, is there's when there's a vacuum, it needs to be filled. If you don't fill yourself with God, something will take its place and you'll not like the results. Be still and know that I'm God. Why? Verse 11, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Hallelujah. Be still and know that he is God. Be still and know that he is God. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you this morning for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have to come to you and call you Father. Lord, if we repent of the many times that you have been trying to speak to us and our ears have been plugged with noise and fear. Father, I pray that you would continue to reach out to us, show us yourself. Lord, we thank you that we have opportunity through your Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to communicate with you, to sit with you. And Lord, I pray this morning that there would be a sense of peace on everyone here this morning, that there would be a renewed joy and a peace that passes all understanding, that would be a fruit that a frantic, scared world could pick from. Father, that we would be that tree that is planted beside the waters that brings forth fruit, brings forth shade for the weary. Lord, I thank you that we have opportunity to look into your word and to know you by it. God, help us to continue to meditate on your word, to know you. But we know that it's more than reading. It's more than head knowledge. Lord, it's you speaking to our hearts, speaking to the very inner depth of our being. God, as we go out from this place, as we go out into the world, as we do what we do, the people that we come in contact with, I pray, Lord, that this week again, that they would know that we truly have been in touch with the Master, that we have a God who is worth living for. We have a God that we can talk about. We have a God that brings peace and joy to our hearts. And we want to share it with the world. So, Father, we pray for the strength to do that. And I pray for each one that we would all be able to walk and to receive that joy, to receive that peace, and to give it to the world. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite the chorister to come and lead us in a closing song.